Yes, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 13 real quickly. Man, it is super encouraging to me to see the brethren grow. You know, to see people who are, they're outside of Christ, then become Christians, and then they grow in Christ with that Spirit of Christ in them that Josh was talking about. You know, Kendall, today was Kendall's first one. Man, that was great, wasn't it? I mean, just the, you know, the exhortation from the, you know, the Spirit of Christ living inside of us, but there's some action required on our part to be able to go and to have those rivers of living water. We're always in the presence of God, but we still need to go to Him to drink. And really went in line with what Josh was talking about. You know, actually, for God to put His Spirit in us in the first place. Yes, He puts His Spirit in us at our immersion into Christ if repentance is there. If repentance isn't there, we're just taking a bath. And then I also like the exhortation scripturally and that we got this morning. Like, this isn't a one-time thing either in terms of repentance. Really, repentance is a commitment to continually bring our thinking into line with that of God's. And then I'm so thankful you changed the verse of that song. Because, yes, as you know, actually, we want to think the way that God thinks. His ways are good. His thoughts are good. And so we want to be like Him. And yeah, anyways, you guys encouraged me this morning. Romans chapter 13, and just a few verses, and then we're going to flip over to 1 Corinthians 13 as well. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, and then we'll go over to 1 Corinthians 13. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For you loved his neighbor, has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Verses 1 through 8. So, I've been preaching through Romans. We're in Romans 13. And love is the fulfillment of the law. But sometimes understand, I'm thinking for scriptures that break down a little more for us what love looks like, what this is. One thing to say, love is the fulfillment of the law. What does that look like in our lives? And so 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful, so thankful for the love of Christ. We're thankful, Father, that you didn't just write a book about love, but you demonstrated it to us by taking on flesh, by leaving your place of glory and coming down here to live through really this mess of earth, to be despised and forsaken by people. Lord, that you are willing to undergo all of that because of your love for us, to bring us back into fellowship with you, that we might be reconciled to you. Father, we're thankful that though Jesus Christ was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we might become rich. All of that, Lord, motivated by love. But we're also thankful that you have given us a book, that you have written to us then about this, to communicate it to us in a way that we can understand, for us to be able to think and consider and put into practice in our lives. Lord, we do want to be like You. That's our great desire. Our greatest ambition is to be pleasing to You. Lord, as Your children, we want to grow up to be just like You. And so we're thankful that You not only model for us what love looks like, but that You also teach us about it so that we can learn and be imitators of You as Your beloved children. I ask, Lord, that You be with me today as I preach Your word, that I would communicate it clearly in a manner that we can understand. And Lord, I ask for each of us that we would really honestly consider ourselves, not our neighbor, not our brother or sister in Christ that's sitting in front or behind, but that we would consider ourselves and what love is, and that it starts, Lord, with each one of us. I ask this all through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So a couple things, big picture, just working through the context of Romans leading up to this, Romans chapter 12, the context of 1 Corinthians leading up to 1 Corinthians 13, is gifts within the body and the way that we are to use those. And honestly, I'm going to steal from another place in the scripture that I think would summarize the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ is what empowers us to actually be able to use what we have for God's glory. We can have great faith, and Romans is mostly a book about faith. That's really the theme of that book. But we can have great faith, even to move mountains, but if we don't have love, I'm nothing. And that's why even in a book that the theme is about faith, still when it comes to practical faith being applied in our life, love comes up because the love is the motivation that makes it all count. If you think about, we talk around here a lot about it, even to the point that somebody wrote a song, the last song in the Red Songbook, you know, New Creation, right? Everybody's talking about the new creation. And we talk about the new creation, and that's great, but what is the new creation? If you put a few passages of Scripture together, you find a description of the new creation, faith working through love. That's who we are as new creatures. And so, you know, that's the context here. And one other thing I was just thinking about as I'm going through, because I was telling Jeff what the title of my... I got to veer off for just a second. Jeff won't mind. So Jeff just took over the bulletins, and he's got this down, and he was supposed to be out of town, but due to some health situation, his family ended up being here. So he put this together, and he's got this new program, it's a little different setting, and he had passed on to one of the brethren to print out for him. And well, I ended up talking to him on the phone yesterday, and I said, I had the weirdest dream, Jeff, I said last night. I don't really hardly ever remember my dreams, but this came out. I was like, the bulletins got messed up. And we were talking, laughing. He said, well, guys, the bulletins are a little messed up today. So don't let it bother you the evening and the format and the way it transferred from one computer to another. Anyways, why did I bring that up? I have no idea. Okay. I don't know why I brought it up. But when I was telling Jeff, this is how I brought it up, that what the title of my message is going to be, as I said, love is kind and is not jealous. And it's like, I don't know if I'll get to that as not jealous. So let's just go love is kind, dot, dot, dot. But when I was thinking about that, brethren, for me, I'll just say for me, from an academic standpoint, when I was in school, like, I'd go to classes, and really, most of the time, I did not care about what I had to learn. I cared about passing tests. I cared about doing well on tests. So my mind, and I don't think I'm unusual this way, my mind had an amazing ability to learn what I was supposed to learn for the test, and then to forget it, and to move on to the next. Now, classes that were comprehensive throughout, and you know you're going to have a comprehensive final at the end, and you got to pay, those scared me a little more because I actually had to try to learn and remember, at least through the semester, right? So, when I said love is kind, dot, 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 we don't get to forget love is patient. This is comprehensive. I don't even want to say necessarily it's an order that builds on each other. I don't think that's the list in 1 Corinthians 13. But it's all of this together is a description of what love really is. And so we don't just say, okay, love's patient. I'm going to be patient this week. Okay, that's over. We don't have to be patient now. This week, love is kind. But I don't have to be... Anyways, I hope you know what I'm saying. Okay, it's all together. So this week I do want to talk a little about love is kind. And just again, from context, what we've talked about. The great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And another is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's so easy to say, I love God. But that love of God is going to be borne out in the way we treat those who are made in the image of God. We can't say we love God and hate our brethren. Or hate might be a little strong word for some of us. I don't hate my brother. We can't say we love God and not like our brethren. We can't say we love God and not have agape love for our brethren. Agape love, a commitment love, a sacrificial love, a love that says, I am willing to do what is best for you for your eternity. I'm willing to set aside myself, my desires, to help you make it to heaven. That's really what we're talking about here. So sometimes if, you know, in terms of, if I have a difficult time deciding, making a decision, what I should do in a situation, I just try to ask myself, what is best for this other person's eternity? And that usually clarifies for me. Okay, this is the right thing to do. So, but what one of the things I've found, you know, and Jesus talks about, you know, people say love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He says, no, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But an amazing thing in that context, Jesus is talking about loving your enemies. But any contrast, it's easy to love those who love you. If you do that, there's no reward. It's easy to greet your brothers only. The tax gatherers and the Gentiles, they do those sort of things. He said, love your enemies. But I was thinking about that. Even within, so to love somebody who loves you. So if somebody's nice to, we're going to talk today about love is kind. It is, I find it very easy to be kind to somebody who's recently been kind to me. Where I find it more difficult, and I think actually when you have to rub elbows together. So the church is a family of God. God designed it this way. This is our family. And, you know, we're all on this road to perfection. I'm just going to say I'm still a work in progress along the way. And so sometimes in this work in progress along the way, this family, there's siblings that can drive each other nuts. You know, there's siblings that you can have your little altercations. And, hey guys, this is part of God's plan for us to grow up. To work through. Like this is his process by which we get perfected. So, you know, along the way, I find it easy. Hey, Mrs. Simpson got back from Ohio. She had a good time with her granddaughter and granddaughter. And so she's really friendly to me this week because I'm going to find it easy to be kind back to Mrs. Simpson this week. You notice I'm setting the tone, Mrs. Simpson. That's going to be easy. Okay. But what if somebody had a rough go? And they're feeling a little chippy. And they're going to be chippy to me. Now I find I'm going to find it more difficult to be kind. Right? But love is. And that's what I want to talk about. Love is a decision. Love is a mental commitment to do what is best for somebody else. And I'm going to say especially when it's difficult. Okay? So that's the context of what we're talking about. What does it mean to be kind? I think it's, you know, pretty simple. We look up the dictionary. Benevolent, considerate, helpful. I was wanting to find I'm going to ask Aiden. Aiden, what do you think what's it mean to be kind?
Be nice to people.
That's what I thought you were going to say. To be nice to people. Perfect answer. Be nice. Sometimes, guys, I just think Christianity 101 is be nice to people. Love is kind. Love is nice to others. To, you know, I was thinking if we were to ask a kid, what do you think they'd say? To be nice, or maybe to share, right? Love is kind. And I think sometimes Christianity, real true Christianity, I'm not saying it's easy, but it is as simple as being kind to other people. Go back to me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I'm going to read one more verse. Proverbs 3, 3 and 4. So, verse 4. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. There's two things. He said, kindness and truth. Don't let them leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Because to me, truth and kindness together, that's incredibly powerful. We'll get later. We live in a world, I'm just going to touch on this because we'll get to it some weeks down the road. But we do live in a world that might talk about kindness but try to leave truth out. Okay? We find later in this list, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness but rejoices with the truth. So love actually is these two together. They're bound together. Kindness and truth. But today I'm preaching on kindness. Jump down to verse 26 and 27. Actually, I just want 27 and 28 of this same chapter. Do not withhold good from those to whom it's due when it's in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Love is kind. Love is nice and love shares. Love is kind. Does what's good for someone else. I'm so impressed, guys, just reading through the Gospels again, the first part of the year, and plugging them into the Gospel of Mark as part of my daily Bible reading. Jesus' kindness to people. Every interaction that Jesus has, he notices people. He's kind to children. He gets flack for that sometimes, doesn't he? Oh, Jesus got more important stuff to do. Like, take these kids away from him so he can get on with it. Jesus, leave the kids alone. Let them come to me. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I like that about Jesus. He cares about children. Jesus was kind to the sick. He noticed the sick, the depressed, etc. You know, some of us never struggle with depression. Some of us have. It's a tough thing. You're struggling with depression. You're in going down that dark tunnel. To have somebody notice and care about you and try to help you out of that. Jesus did that, his interaction with people. And there's an old song. I think the Goals might be the only other people. I don't know. Maybe they've shared this with others. But when I was a kid growing up, there was something called the Music Machine. And this Music Machine, there was a bunch of the songs about the fruit of the Spirit. And one was about the one about kindness. And it says, when I treat you kindly, it makes you happy. Changes you inside. Makes you feel important, loved, and special. And it makes you kind. Treating people kindly, like when you do that, it changes somebody else. Just think about it at a very basic level. How many times in your day maybe wasn't going perfect, and somebody went out of their way to give you some encouraging word, smile, comment, build you up, and it like changed the course of your day just by somebody going out of their way to be kind. So, it was just some questions. And I'm preaching myself on some of this today, in particular just recently, just convicted myself on, I think of myself as an encouraging guy, as a nice guy with my words and those kind of things, but if you're not kind with your words, like how incredibly destructive that can be as well. So I want you to think yourself, how are you with your speech? You know, words are so powerful. There's the saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I know we try to say that to convince ourselves of that, but honestly, most of us, the hurt in our lives, like, some of us, we might have broken bones, we've had surgeries and that kind of stuff, but the scars that are there are the ones that actually are emotional scars from people hurting us. That's where most of our pain usually comes from. So we try to arm ourselves against those unkind words, but they have a long-term impact. Words are powerful for good or for bad. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. You know, around here we are interested in being like Christ, right? Jesus said, therefore you're to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so we're interested in doing that. Amen? And so part of that, James actually says, I'm not going to get to work this in today, so I will right here. James chapter 3, talking about the tongue. He says, if somebody is able to bridle the tongue, they're a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. So if you can tame the tongue, if you can have the tongue always say words that are right, at the right time, in the right setting. What's another proverb say? Like, apples of gold and setting of silver, so is a right word spoken in the right circumstance, right? If we train our tongue to do what is right for somebody else, like, you're able to bridle everything else. Self-controlled person. So, words are incredibly powerful. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Let me just ask you as a Christian, when you consider your purpose in life, okay, glorifying God, but isn't your purpose in life like to share His life with others? To help, I mean, what, we know Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. That we know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. This is eternal life. Brother, we have that life within us. Kendall talked about those rivers of living water. Isn't, as Christians, isn't what we're doing is sharing that life with others? So death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do you realize the words that we say, when we're kind to people, we're sharing that life of Christ. When we're not kind to people, we're spreading death. And there's plenty of that spreading around. Powerful. Very, very powerful. And it can be eternal life and eternal death. I guess it just bothers me. It bothers my conscience when everything, who I am inside, everything that God has made me to be, my whole purpose in my life is to want to bring others and share that life with Christ. And if I say words that are destructive, that send people down a wrong, like, that grates against everything who God's made me to be. And so love is kind. You know, so I want you to consider, is there somebody that can use an encouraging word? Just a few thoughts that I've had recently. I really honestly think one of the greatest needs in the world is encouragement. There is so much negative. There's so much beat down. There's so, you know, the mountains and the valleys that Josh was talking about, like, that's prevalent. So prevalent. And, you know, when you end up having real conversations with people, and they'll tell you, people are starving for encouragement. And then I was, actually one thing I've been appreciative of recently, I noticed Roger and Emily, like, there's a book out there called Five Love Languages. And the guy that wrote it, I don't think, is a true Christian, but it's scriptural principles. And I always like to, if I read something or hear something, compare it with the Bible. But he talks about five love languages, and, you know, there's words of affirmation, physical touch, gifts, quality time, acts of service. And I just check, you know, hey, are those things that the scripture talks about that I see in Jesus? And Jesus does all of those things. But one of the things I appreciate about Roger and Emily is they're proactively, I've noticed them, like, I think about it in my family, okay? Julie and me and then our kids, you know, I've thought about, hey, try to figure out what are ways that communicate love specifically to people in my family. Because the ways that basically what I'm saying is, I have a couple, okay, that are very strong in me. Words of affirmation is one. In case you wanted to know mine, you know, just in case. Words of affirmation. Physical touch, in case you hadn't noticed, you know, that I'm always like, when I'm talking to you, probably touching you. Those are two very prevalent for me. Okay? That doesn't mean that everybody else in my family, those two are prevalent for them. So to think about, to actually be kind, how do I communicate to somebody else? I just appreciate that initiative that I've noticed with Roger Emily, trying to find out like what people's love languages are, a way to be able to communicate kindness to them. And, you know, something else I was thinking of. I know this is a little scattered, but hopefully you're tracking. Love's kind is thinking about other people. And just considering, you know, even in this congregation, brethren, we have a number of young people that they have single parent. And you think about how important a mom and a dad is in your life. And if you don't have one of those in your life, do you think maybe a little extra kindness instead of like might be really what they need instead of somebody jumping all over them for maybe some of their behavioral issues? Like to think about what people are going through inside. You know, I just recently in our congregation, you know, somebody just recently had a miscarriage. Yeah, this is a tough thing. Somebody recently just found out they had cancer. These are things that people go through that are real. And you don't know. You might not even know until you're into a deep conversation with them that's going on. But they need encouragement. They need love. They need kindness shown to them. One of the boys on Caleb's basketball team was thinking about, you know, his dad going through throat cancer, has throat cancer, going through treatments, and his dad hasn't been able to be at a bunch of his games. And man, when I found that out, like there's a kid, I went out of my way to extra encourage him because, you know, like, can you imagine what that's like as a teenage boy with that, your dad going through that, and you're, you know, how dads are cheering you on usually, and they're not even able to be there. What I'm saying is, lots of times we don't know what people are going through. But everybody needs kindness. You know, I want to go you to check this out with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Then there are the tough people, right? Hey, there are some people like they wouldn't need anything. Like they got this. They've been a Christian a long time. They got this handled. They're running the race strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. The Apostle Paul says, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side. Conflicts without." That's not surprising. We all know what Paul went through. But how about this one? Fears within. When I think of the Apostle Paul, I don't think of somebody that had fears within. But the Scripture tells us he did. What I'm saying is everybody needs kind. Love is kind. Everybody needs kindness shown to them. So I just want to encourage you this week, be a doer of the word. Reach out. Make a conscious effort to reach out and encourage somebody. If you can find out how they're really doing, that's even better. But maybe you don't know, but you know, I'm telling you, everybody can use some kindness and encouragement. How about when we speak the word to others? I've talked about this a little bit, but I'm going to hit it again because we're also out there sharing the love of Christ with people who are lost. And you know, some of us are pretty rough around the edges. Because I don't think it's difficult to use the Bible to blow somebody away. Like, there's a number of, if you want a list of passages to do that, there's a number, I could give you some. Okay? You want to put the screws to somebody? You want to show them where they stand with God? But the Scripture did say truth and kindness together, right? So being rough around the edges, you know, if you're that way, you might still be able to save, like, I mean, hey, you might be able to save somebody that's rough around the edges. I'm serious. Like, you might, there's somebody, people that might respond to that, and you might be able to, but if you want to become all things to all men, then by all means, you might save some. Then some of our rough edges might need a little bit of getting them smoothed out, right? And so I have a saying for myself. Be tough-minded, yet tender-hearted. And for me, guys, just my personality, the way I am, one of the things I've had a hard time doing is being tough enough to tell people the truth. So then I've worked hard on being tough enough to tell people the truth, and then sometimes it's easy to... Well, anyways, as Christians, we need to do both. If we stand for truth, we come across as jerks, what does that profit anybody? And so we want to make a decision, stand on the truth. A few things, a few particulars. Preach at myself, and maybe I'll catch some of you guys with this too. Love is kind. It doesn't say love is sarcastic. Some of us, like, that's sarcasm. That's what we like to use to communicate with people. Be careful, because sarcasm can hurt people's feelings really, really deeply. Here's another one. How about humor? Humor is one of those things in the moment, and it's funny. And honestly, I've probably, the way I hurt people's feelings is probably through humor. Like, that's where I have to be really guard myself. And the scripture talks about coarse jesting. I think it's in context of immorality and some of those other things. But just, you think about coarse just means rough, right? Rough jesting. It can also be humor that just is not thoughtful of somebody else's feelings. And some of you know this about me. I'm going to tell my story just because maybe some of you are like this. And, you know, as a kid growing up, I was a very, very sensitive kid, to the point I was a crybaby. I mean, really, I was. But one of the things in learning to get over being a crybaby is a defense mechanism against that, against being sensitive, is to come up with witty comebacks, right? And so you end up, your brain starts getting good at these witty comebacks to, like, a defense mechanism. And, you know, in our word, probably the word we would use is savage. Okay? You can be pretty savage to somebody. And, okay, it kept you from maybe getting hurt a little, but what did it do to the other person? That's not love. And you might say, well, that's the way I am. The question today is not, well, really the question might be who you are. But the question isn't who you were. We were sinners. We were messed up. We have been washed. We've been sanctified. We've been justified, right? So the question is, who am I now? Doesn't Christ live in us? And so the scripture doesn't say, like, well, if this is your personality type. The scripture says love is kind. Well, if we love, we're willing to change things about our personality. How about teaching our children to be kind? You know, all kids make mistakes. They're children. And that's why they have parents. One of our responsibilities as parents is to teach our children the love of Christ. Teach them to be kind. It's, honestly, guys, we got some work to do in that. I mean, they're children, okay? So that's not surprising. But some of us need to do better than we're doing at this. So I want to encourage you, maybe sometime, like, I love around here, we fellowship, and it's great, and sometimes our kids are tearing around, and that's great too. As long as they're being polite of older people and not taking them out the knees and that kind of stuff. But sometimes, like, just let yourself from a distance watch your kids. How are they doing with treating other people? Because we want to teach them to be kind. And don't make excuses for them. You can always come up with excuses not to be kind. That's not what we're looking for. We want to teach them to be kind. Treat others right no matter what. That's love. Love is kind. And then for me, here's the question. This all sounds great. I can do this, right? And we are. That's who we are. And then the, how are you under pressure? Because that's really who we really are. I mean, that will let you know if you still have some work to do, right? So, let's just go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what's good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. I like that Jesus compares our words, he compares it like to the treasure box of the heart. And so I think about it like this. In my treasure box, I have all the nice stuff on top. I might even call it the social niceties, right? So, in certain situations, like, you open the box and you carefully pick out this word, and, like, we all are trained to be certain social settings is what we have. But what happens when that box gets all shook up? Because sometimes it happens. Whatever's in the bottom, that comes out. I mean, it can come to the top. It can come to the top. So when that gets shook up, who you really are comes out. That's why Jesus says it's the careless words that we're going to render account for in the day. Guys, sometimes I hear that. It's like, ouch. What I'm saying is, I know there's still work to do on my heart. Because what's in the heart comes out under pressure. Love is kind. And so, just some closing questions here. What kind of words do you use with your brethren? Let's make this really practical. What kind of words do you use in your family? If we want to get really serious about this and make you think, what if we were to say, okay, next Lord's Day, instead of a regular assembly, we'll have our Lord's Supper, and then after that, the Lord's going to take row by row, and He's going to highlight the careless words that we spoke. So we're going to start with the new Christian up here. We'll be easy on you because you're new, right? We'll move on to the goals. We won't be quite as easy on you guys because you know, Simpsons, you're in big trouble. Okay? I mean, we're gonna start, you know, every careless word. If you were not nice in a text, if you were not nice when your wife burnt supper, or your husband forgot to sweep off your car for you, or, you know, whatever it is. Okay, hey, that's the message next week. How we do with love is kind. How are we with the brethren? Are we demanding? Or are we, as Aiden said, nice? Just be nice. Okay. Do we speak out of anger, bitterness, spite, or out of love? I said, don't make excuses for your kids. Hey, no excuses here, right? No excuses for me as an adult. Hey, kindness is proactive too, isn't it? You guys ever notice the scripture actually talks about assembling of the saints? It says, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That means we think about what we're going to do, how we're going to interact. Hey, here's a good one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. This is one of the first verses I remember Mr. Simpson really emphasizing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Hey, the words that we speak should build other people up. They should be cognizant of the need of the moment. You're considering, what's this other person need? And it's going to give grace to those who hear. It's going to be a gift to them. That's why God made our tongues. For that purpose, to build each other up. You know, Christianity has been called the religion of the second mile. Sermon on the Mount. Someone asks you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Kindness goes too. And so, just ask yourself, how are you doing on this? And maybe, sometimes I can think I'm doing pretty good, and then maybe to ask it this way, how do others perceive you? Because we're talking about being kind to others, right? So how do they think? What if we get a completely anonymous poll from this congregation? What do you really think about? Like, how do I come... What do you really think about me? We're not asking that question. Let's see. How do I come across? What kind of person am I? Would people say you're kind, or would they say you're a little harsh? Nice, or what's the opposite of nice? Aiden, maybe ornery? Maybe that would work. Patient or demanding? Loving or selfish? We're not going to have time to preach on love's not jealous today, so it's a good thing you put the dot, 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 Jeff. Just, let's be doers of the word. In our families, man, what an opportunity to practice day in and day out love, right? To really work on our heart of who we are. You know, in our congregation, what a beautiful opportunity to love that person that's been rubbing you the wrong way lately. You don't know what's going on. Well, maybe you do know what's going on, but maybe something's going on inside of them. They just need some encouragement. Interaction with the lost. All of this. I want to remind us, guys, love is not just a matter of feeling. It's easy for me to be kind. I feel kind when somebody else is kind to me. But when somebody else isn't kind to me, I don't always feel kind. But love is kind. Love does. And I will encourage you on this as well. I've noticed that even if you don't feel kind, if you'll be kind, pretty soon you'll start feeling kind. Like you can act your way into feeling. I'm not saying fake it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying you know this is right. Love does what's right. And so we do it, we're kind, and pretty soon you feel kind. I like kids are just so easy, right? The kids are easy to see. Adults, we just get it good at hiding stuff. But kids, like, they have a bad attitude, and you tell them to put a smile on their face, and they put a smile, you know? And pretty soon, even when you just can't continue to be crabby and sad with a smile on your face. Hey, let's be kind. Love is kind. Let's stand. Mr. Simpson, when I'm done praying, can you sing for us, man? Because that'd be very kind of you. Appreciate it. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. And Lord, not only, I didn't even talk about this today, but not only that you share with us what this is and what it looks like and how to do it, but Father, you give us the power to do it through your Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, among other things, is love. The fruit of the Spirit, among other things, is kindness. And so, you have not left us alone, Lord, to do this. You have given us your Spirit. We can do this with your help. So, Father, I ask that we would be doers of the word. That love among the brethren would grow. And that we would each commit to showing kindness. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.